This is W2TTT. The check line will start in about 2 minutes. W2TTT.
W2TTT. WA2CAI calling.
Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, American Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call G2VAR. Okey-dokey, good news, nothing heard. Alrighty, this is K2BAR. And the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net is held every Thursday night on the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club repeater. And I just ran up the stairs with a full load of stuff here, so pardon my being winded. In any case, the club power runs the Technical Net once a week on Thursday night at 9 p.m. And the purpose of this net is to discuss amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, anything in our society that uses those things. So pretty much anything you want to talk about, as long as you can somehow stitch it back to those things one way or another. We live in a wonderful world. We're very blessed, and we have a wonderful hobby with a lot of different aspects to it. As Dick Nadelhoff points out, there's dozens, I forget what number he uses, but I think he uses number 30-odd number of different kinds of amateur radio, and, you know, probably close to the truth, if not more. So, we check into this net a little differently than other nets. We do it by call sign group, so as to not have too much clutter, but we do one other thing that's a little unusual, and that is that we check in with our call sign, our name, and we indicate whether or not we have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. Now, we would like you to check in even if you don't have a question or a comment. And the purpose of that is to help us gauge who the audience is, and often we'll steer some of the answers to things that we happen to know you're interested in, if we know you're there. So let's see, how do we start? Let's start with the alpha calls. Any station whose call sign begins with alpha, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, whether or not you have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR. Alrighty. How about those ever popular Kilo 2s?
That's it. KQTSL, David. And that's about it.
Okay, I know KQTSL and I know K2s that are on there. Dave, do you have a question or comment?
Not at this time, nope.
Thank you, David. And Jim? K2ZO, K2BAR.
K2BAR, K2ZO.
Do you have a question or a comment for the net?
Yeah, I had a comment about an antenna that I made that was very interesting. By the way, you're listening to a 4-farad capacitor in the back that's singing to me. And when comments come, we'll do it, unless you want to do it now.
Let's get everybody in first. Alrighty, any other Kilo 2s?
It's Tony, K2ALI. No questions, maybe a comment. And listening.
Evening, Tony. My guess is your comment is about Saturday morning. Melvon. Alrighty. Let's see. Any other Kilo 2s?
K2ZC, Dave. No questions, no comments.
Hi, Dave. Good hearing you as well. Any other Kilo 2s? Alright, all the other Kilos, let's call K2BAR. Wow, that's unusual. Okay, any W's?
W2JEK Don with a comment.
K Don, very good. I have a question for you, by the way, and the question is when you get around to it. When do you think the leak received the your bundle of submissions? But that can wait. All right. Any other W's?
This is WA2CAI with a comment.
Good evening, Thomas. I'll note your comment. Hear you. Any other W's?
I'm WE2R, Charlie. No questions or comments.
Okay, Charlie, my question for you, you might want to think about it, is what was the status of your antenna project? Last we heard, I'm just kind of curious how that's moving along. And any other whiskeys? The November stations.
N2OEL, what question?
Wow, we have a question. Hi, Noel, good evening. You might want to let us know when you get your turn, whether you're home or not. It's always nice to know. And any other November stations? It's called K2BAR. Okay, any station late or another prefix I missed, you know, the 4Z4s, the 4X4s, you know, 5Y3s, the 5U4s, just kidding, anyway. dear me. Any other station wishing to check into that, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question, comment, both, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
KA2FBL. That's a question.
Good evening, Michael. It's a wonderful thing. Have your note down for a question. That's most interesting, I'm sure. And any other stations? Okay, okay. Well, let's get right to it. Noel, your question. K2BAR.
My question is about antenna ropes. Haven't seen you use nylon cords from whatever the heck the name of that Ramsey, the other one. Anyways, I bought the same ropes, put them up in the trees on some pulleys, saw them about 6 months ago, maybe 7 months ago. Question is, what do you think the life expectancy of those nylon ropes is in outside use with sunlight and so forth? And if I'm about to put up an antenna, should I at this time replace each and every one of them? Or do you think I can use them and expect them to stay up for a few more years? That's my question. N2OEL.
Okay, N2OEL, K2BAR. Well, my guess is that you can use them some more. I use them for at least 5 years, at least, unless there's, you know, some special circumstances to what they were doing. But, you know, just hanging wire in the air, nah. and frankly, the only reason why I probably replaced them after 5 years is caution, and I have a purpose for them elsewhere, which is to use them for, you know, knot tying and things like that, practice lashing, cutting them up in little pieces. So, you know, getting the boys to use some old rope is probably a good way to chew it up. But lacking that, I might be tempted to throw it right back up. The rope that's up there is over 5 years old. I can tell you that right now. Well, is it? Yeah, it is actually at this point. So I definitely get good use out of it. That would be my suggestion. Now, just so everybody knows what rope we're talking about, this is not the advertised by the antenna man or any of these other guys with a black background. This is basic, either white, black, or OD colored 550 cord, parachute cord. It sells for $5 a hundred at Ramsey Outdoor, or pardon me, at Campmore, or Ramsey Outdoor, actually, if they have 100. Sometimes they only have 50s, but... But Campmore usually stocks all three colors in hundreds. Ramsey tries to, but usually their hundreds go out first, and they have 50s for like $3. But anyway, you get the idea. Very, very attractively priced. Can't miss it. If you want to be visible, use white. If you want to be more invisible, use black, depending on what the background is. Adjust accordingly. You might even be better off with VOD. So, Noel, I'm going to throw it right back to you to see if that answers your question, and we'll see if anyone wants to comment on it. K2B Air.
Yes, the next question is, if I hold this 80-meter loop, it should mean horizontal distance, since my slot's only 55 foot wide, and I expect the best I can do on one leg is going to be like 35 or 40 feet. This kind of implies that a couple of legs will be 90 or 100 feet of number 12 household wire. Do you think that these ropes will be strong enough to hold that length of number 12 household wire?
Absolutely. You're going to support it in four corners?
Actually, by the time I go around trees and stuff, there will be maybe six or seven supports. But the longest straight run will be pushing 100 foot.
And no reason to worry about that. It'll be fine. I think you're, if you're using stranded, insulated number 12, which many of us do right off the reel, from the Home Depot or whatever, I think your issues are going to be one of what happens to that before the rope breaks. Okay. So with that in mind, anybody else want to comment? Please call K2B Air.
Comment, K2TSL.
Hey, David.
I use the same cord that you're talking about, Gordon, that you had, I guess, a couple years ago recommended. So I've had it up for 2 years. In about 2 months, it'll be 2 years. And I don't have it on pulleys or anything. It's just on each side. It's over a branch holding up the G5RV. And it's been fine. I'll probably replace it over the summer for another $5 or whatever it is to replace both those ropes by lowering them down and not having to restring things, just pull them through. But for 2 years on trees with outside without any problem. So they've been rubbing up against the branches and they're still fine. K2BAR, K2DSL.
David, just out of curiosity, what color did you pick?
The green color. The actual wire, G5RV, is blue wire.
I'm sorry, I was distracted for a second. The wire was blue and the rope was what?
The green rope. I think I might have one or two black ropes as well. But I think I got the green rope when I was there, and it takes me a while to actually find it in the tree when I need to look for it.
Wonderful. That's what I wanted to hear. Alrighty. Well, that sounds to me like we have a winner. Okie doke. Any other, anybody else have any comments?
72JEK.
Don, go ahead.
This is W2JEK. Yeah, one thing that I recommend is I had a pulley system with a counterweight to hold up my 40-meter dipole and the other wire that was attached to this arrangement. And a vine grew up on the darn thing, and I sort of neglected it. And when I tried to get it to vine, the rope broke because it jammed in the pulley. So if you see a vine starting to grow up on any of your ropes, get it out of there right away before it gets up too far and causes any grief. That'd be my advice. Because I wound up with, this was in a cherry tree, and some of this vine was pretty strong, and trying to get it, the antenna tack down where I could get at the vine, the rope broke. I wound up being unable to get back into the cherry tree. I put it up in the, put the antenna up in the maple tree in my yard instead. I think growing up on your ropes like that, just get rid of it real quick before it gets too far ahead of you. Back to that, W2JK.
That's a good point. Yeah, very, very good point. Anybody else?
This is K2ZO.
Mr. Zetto.
I've used both of the inexpensive stuff from Camp Moore. By the way, you can dye that stuff if you want to change its color. And it seems to work fine. But the stuff that really works very well is the stuff from the Wire Man, a little bit more expensive. And I use that to keep my inverted V up. I have a loop up on top of the tower, and I don't want to have to go up and replace that. Not a pulley, but just a loop. And I use that black Dacron stuff from the Wire Man. But for the other stuff, on the ends of the antenna, just over to the trees, all I use is the green stuff from Camp Moore.
Okay, I guess my question, Jim, would be, do you really notice a difference in performance between the two, or are you just being paranoid appropriately?
Well, the Dacron stuff is UV protected and lasts longer, you know. I've not had, I've had the other stuff fail when something pulled it and broke it, but I'm talking about the cheapy parachute cord. But the Dacron stuff that I had is quarter inch, that holds up the inverted V. But that's a little bit too much just for, you know, tying off the ends, because the antenna is supported in the center and you don't really need much. Where if I had it supporting a dipole, without anything on the center, I'd probably use the Dacron from the Wire Man on both ends of it.
Yeah, okay. I just haven't had any UV problems with that. But how many years do you let the Wire Man stuff work for you before you decide to replace it?
I changed it last year, and I'll probably look at it when I get a chance to, over the summer, and maybe change it again. I don't let that stay very long, and the reason, of course, is that I would not want to have to replace that, because that had mean lowering the tower and all the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, no, I understand. Just out of curiosity, have you thought of running a second lineup?
I did. I had a second line that just looped over as a telltale thing. They loop it back up, and it got tangled. So I scrapped it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I've done that where I send it up, you know, through a figure eight. I'll take the existing loop, put a figure eight in it, or figure eight follow through, as the case may be, depending on my mood. Anyway, I'll take one of those, then take a second piece through it, and then rip it through, and just kind of hold it at a distance as the other one's being rolled through. And once it gets around to the bottom, I untie it and lash it off in a separate direction. So I'll take the two loops from a common looping point, but I'll tie one east, one west, or one north, one south, you know, so just take them a different direction. But yeah, I can see how that could get jammed up pretty badly if you didn't manage it carefully. And sometimes the environment doesn't let you manage it carefully, which is another humbling reality in some cases. Alrighty, anybody else?
KA2FEL.
Mr. Mike.
I just wanted to say I was using, besides wire, on my, black protested mine, and it didn't give me a chance to really tighten it after it rained almost right afterwards, and we had the big storm and stretched it out way too far, which is one of the reasons why my antenna had one weak spot on that O. I don't know how the cord is that you're using. It's a very nice cord, but I don't know the cord that you're using. But unfortunately, this has a point where it stretches fairly quickly, and I have to tighten it up.
Yeah, well, cord does that, and you do have to be mindful of that reality. You also have to be mindful of the reality of, especially with wire antennas, using the kind of the household wire we've been all talking about. You use that, and sometimes even the better stuff, unless it's got a steel core. You know, the copper clad steel core stuff. If you're not using that, then surprise, surprise, you may find yourself in need of a adjustment. Because as time goes on, it'll stretch and your resonant frequency will shift lower in frequency, which can be a little annoying at times. But anyway. Alrighty, so let's see, who is next? Well, before we go to who's next, anybody have any more comments on this subject?
KC2RSF Tom, Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey, mobile. Does anyone copy?
Tom, is it Kilo Alpha 2, Romeo, Sierra Mike?
Negative, Negley, Foxtrot, that's Kilo, Charlie 2, Romeo, Sierra, Foxtrot. Copy?
Yeah, KC2, RSF, I got it. No problem, got you covered there. Very nice. Nice signal from Atlantic Highlands, no small wonder why you're there. Did you have a comment for this topic?
Also, I really don't know what the topic is. I just got done, my boat was put in the water today, and I just got done trying to get it kind of like ship shape. I'll get it right. And you should hear me a lot better momentarily, because I'm going to go to the highest elevation in the county of Monmouth momentarily, probably in about 5 minutes off the top of the mountain. But like I said, I'm going to have to just copy and listen in and find out what the subject is. I hope all is well and all are in good spirits and especially good health, and hopefully you got a good copy. I'm using my daughter's radio, my daughter in her vehicle. I'm on a 208H. No, it's an 8000 ICOM, which is strictly VHF. And let me jump out of here and just copy and give me a shout if you like when I'm at the highest elevation. Just see if it makes much of a difference. Over.
And some light picket fencing. You've been pretty solid this time, too. Okay, very good. Well, thank you, Tom. If you have a comment about one of the topics we're touching and we call for comments, just jump in. Alrighty. Anything else on this topic before we move on?
WA2CAI.
Mr. Tom.
Gordon, I wanted to ask the cord that's sold at Canmore. I believe it's available in green and black and another color, if I heard correctly. Is that Dacron all solar protected, solar IR protected?
Well, it is Dacron, but it's actually nylon, actually, when I think about it. I don't know if I have a package here. I'll look at the end of this transmission. But if I have a package here handy. But basically, it's either black nylon, black Dacron. Either way, it's parachute cord. It's 550 cord is what it is. I think that answers your question. So it's a Kern mantle kind of rope with, you know, fibers in the core and then a sheath of a mantle. So that's pretty much it. So it's not braided or anything like that. It's not a braided cord.
Okay, but to the best of your knowledge, for the most part, it's all IR protected.
I have a package right here. It actually says nylon braided cord, but it is a Kern mantle type thing. So let's see. Lightweight, strong, and durable. Quick drying will not rot or mildew. Actually, it's 650. It's not 550, it's 650. Black, so it's a little stronger. Made in the US of A. And it doesn't say UV protected, but in all honesty, I've not had any UV problems. I'm going to give you guys one hint as to what I use it for in one place. I have a very heavy set of four 6x6 posts that are 12 feet tall. They're planted well into the ground. And they're all bolted together with 2x10s or 2x8s, I can't remember which, and it's old deck. It was a fort for my sons when they were little. I stripped away the rest of the swing set, things like that I made. They made a custom swing set for them, and slide and things like that. I bought the slide, but you know, basically I built my own platform, built my own ladder, built my own swing set, and I just bought the fixtures. So what remains is the square castle-like structure at the end. And strapped, strapped to one of these things I have, or one side of it is 20 feet of around 25, that at the top is actually lashed to a 6x6. It will not go anywhere. It's pretty robust, and it's got 20 feet of tubing above it to hold the one end of my dipole at 35 feet. Now, it's highly shielded from wind, I got to say that. But last I checked, which was a week ago, it was in fantastic shape. No movement, you know, no rot, no fading, no obvious degradation in the cable and the rope. It's been that way for 3 years now. So, just a thought. Any other comments on the subject?
That covers it. Thank you very much, Gordon.
Sound very good. Anybody else? Okay, just one last thing. In Camp Moore, it sells for $3.99. It's a little more expensive at Ramsey Outdoor. I think it's a dollar more. Just a thought. Anyway, so, and it's black, green, or white. Alrighty, I believe we had another question. Let's see. The other question was from KA2FBL. Mr. Mike.
Hey, hi again, everybody. My question goes back to a discussion we had here a couple of weeks ago regarding I was blessed today with getting a... I was thinking, it's not really a big thing. It's light as all heck. And I was thinking, since I'm going to be putting up a separate 2-meter 440 220 setup from the 5-band that I'm putting up, Carol, maybe I should put the 10-meter up and have a little fun with that, because I kind of like 10-meters. Have the 10-meter hooked up to my own here and let Carol have the tri-band. I was wondering what you think about having two beams like that, not to mention the smaller ones, my area that I KA2FBL for ID.
Oh boy, is this going to be an interesting conversation. You gotta be thoughtful of your receiver front ends and transmitting. You know, if one gets on 10 meters and blows the brains out of the other's front end, whether you could cause damage. The answer is you could. I have a similar situation here with maybe a little more space, but not a lot more than you have. With 2 6-meter beams vertically offset by 10 feet and separated probably by about 40 feet. Or so. So I am careful not to point them at each other, and I'm careful when I do use two different radios with them to make sure that everything is, you know, well managed. Most of the time, the default configuration in the shack is to have both the 6-meter beams on the A and B position of one of my HF rigs that has two antenna ports, and that way it kind of saves me that grief. There are times, and we're coming up on that season of the year, where I will likely put one on one and one on the other so I can simultaneously listen in two different directions. I don't do that during the winter months for obvious reasons, but anyway. All right, so let's see. Who would like to comment about this, the Tribander and the 10-meter Yagi on the same house? Two different shacks. Please call K2BAR. Wow, I expected that to be chaos. All right, let me just pick somebody. K2ZO, what do you think?
K2BAR, K2ZO. Well, as you know, if you've ever tried to run two antennas that were resonant on the same frequency, you can run into some interesting surprises. And And one of the things I did one time was take the coax off on the other second antenna and just short it. And when I shorted it, the SWR on the other antenna on the other side of the house would change. So, yes, they do interact. How much it will be, I don't know. But if they're in the same horizontal plane, I can guarantee you that they'll interact some way. That's about all I could say. Back to that.
What about the receiver's protection?
Well, if you've got it on a receiver, you're going to probably pop the front end on a solid-state receiver, unless it's, you know, something a little bit more modern with some protection on it.
Okay. Yeah, because I do this with a Pro 2 and a Pro 3, or Pro 3 and a 746 Pro, and I've been very, very careful for obvious reasons. I try to, like, leave one toward Europe or New England, the other one, you know, toward Rochester or out toward the Midwest or toward the South. But never have the northeastern antenna or the eastern antenna, you know, face west, while the western antenna is facing northeast, let's say. That would be very bad. I just don't allow that to happen. I'm pretty well disciplined on that, but I can see that being a screw up. Anyway, anybody else have any comments? All right, let me ask a question of Mike. Mike, what radios are you going to use?
Well, we'll probably both be using 857-757GX. But we won't be on at the same time. Arrow, so far, is not even deaf kind of down. Got the itch to go HF, and that's why she's getting the tri-band beam. My whole thing is, if I'm running the coax into the other room, and the house is 75 feet long, and if I'm running the coax into the other room, and the shacks are on two completely different ends of the building, I'm running a lot of wire to run it back over here. So I was thinking about, since I do like 10 meters, just, you know, drop the 10 meter one right down into the shack and turn that on whenever I feel like it. And I'll probably would not be on anything unless I was in there with her, guiding her, because she's not really experienced yet on HF.
Okay, that's fair. So would you be running an amplifier, either one of you?
Oh, I, you know, have that amp. I don't know. I could give it to her, and she'll have 800 watts at a limit. We could pop Sue's front end first, but that would be the right thing. It would be kind of interesting, but, you know, we'll see.
No, that's my point. You really don't want to do that, but that would be my only caveat. Well, I have two. One is, you don't want to point the beams toward each other. Possibly you want to just have the other antenna off the radio entirely if someone's using the beam or a beam. There's only one beam gets connected to a radio at a time, and or to any radio at a time. And the other is, I would consider that not run the amplifier unless the other antenna was absolutely disconnected, no matter where it was pointed. So that would be key. And maybe any HF antenna, you know, just flat out, because even a wire could be a problem. So anybody else have anything to add?
K2QBV Mobile. I missed the whole thing. Go over it again.
Hi, Joel. Basically, Mike has a 75-foot long house. He can put a tri-bender on one end and a 10-meter beam on the other. He and his wife have 857s, I guess, FD-857s each, at opposite ends of a 75-foot house. So the worries are damage avoidance, let's say on 10 meters or on HF in general, using the tri-band or the 10-meter Yagi.
Well, they're going to be a little too close.
But yeah, I mean, they're not going to be able to operate at the same time, but the question is, if you just have their other radios off, or you know, on another band, could the radio be damaged by the one transmitting across the house?
Absolutely not. I run my radio, the FT2000, next to the FT1000, and they're both on, and the amplifiers are inches apart. And you don't need an antenna to jump from one to the other. I'd say absolutely not.
You mean absolutely don't do it?
You can do it. I don't have any problem with radiation from one to the other that's going to ruin anything. There's only one case like that. From W2ONV, he had a neighbor across the street running a beam, and the beam was maybe 40 feet from his beam, and he cooked the input coil of the 75A4. It's the only thing I've ever heard. But he runs, 10,000, 20,000 watts. That's it.
Well, he's alleged to have run that yet. Salerno doesn't operate much anymore these days. Anyway. Alrighty. So, how far apart are your antennas, just out of curiosity, and what are they?
Asking me or the other station?
I'm asking you. So you have your 2000 and your 1000, and if they're both attached to antennas, how far are those antennas apart when you're transmitting with one and listening on the other somewhere else?
8 feet, and it's not a wedge. He did run it and got caught. About 8 feet.
The antennas are 8 feet, so what do you do to just keep the other radio from jumping off the desk? You just mute it or just turn the volume down? What do you do?
Oh, I used to mute it. Now I just keep the volume down.
Okay. So you have two antennas vertically separated on the same rotator, same mast, and one is on. Each one is on. Is plugged into a, each antenna is plugged into a different radio, and you just chug along just fine.
I don't have any problem, and I don't run under 1500. So yes, never interferes with it. Even if it's on the same band, by the way.
Well, I mean, it interferes, but it doesn't destroy the radio.
Not at all.
Well, Mike, my caution is maybe, according to the Book of Joel, slightly misplaced, and Joel's experience in this kind of operation is pretty extensive. So that's good to know. So carry on, our wayward son. You and Carol will enjoy the radio. J-E-K. Mr. Don?
Yeah, one thing I always do, if I'm not using the radio, I disconnect the antenna. So if one operator or the other is not on, you're not using the radio, you have your antenna disconnected, or if you have a switch things that grounds them all when you're or something like that, I would think some kind of protection like that probably wouldn't be a bad idea, just the same. I mean, even if you leave the station, I don't ever walk out of here, this room, without disconnecting my antenna. I mean, of course, this time of year, you're going to start getting lightning storms, and I don't want to have to be away someplace and worry, oh, I forgot to disconnect my antenna. I do it as a matter of habit. I have that problem. It's a case where you're not dealing with a lightning storm, but another transmitter that possibly could do some damage. And, it only takes a second to disconnect the antenna compared to the grief that you have if you had some damage. Back to that, W2JK.
I totally sympathize with that approach. Absolutely. And, I've been using the Alpha Delta Delta 4 antenna switches, and they're pretty good. I think they have what you were talking about in the way of a feature. Let me see if I can pull up a spare one here. I think I have a spare one. I haven't mounted yet. Yep. And, it's got the ARC plug-in built into it, too, which is not a bad idea. And in my case, I switch everything to the ground position when it's idle. So it's got it's a four position switch with a fifth position to ground. That's a good thing too, to do. So even if you forget to move things around, disconnect cables, you get caught short, it's not the end of the world. I have a lot of cables, and it's damn inconvenient. So unless I know there's a lightning storm coming, I generally leave myself connected. But your advice is wise nonetheless, Don. Anybody else? Hey, Mike, anything from you?
I will tell you something else about it if I have it.
Hey, Joel.
Alpha Delta switch, from what I remember, and I have a couple of them, which I'm not using now, they ground all the terminals other than the one you're on.
Yeah, they do. And they also have a grounded terminal position as well, which is nice. So you can make them all grounded, essentially. That's a very slick thing. And it's got the arc plug a little bit. You know, they're very, very nice. I mean, there's a reason why they cost what they do.
And also, the only thing I really disconnect are the rotator cables. I'm using a different kind of rotator, but I'm using indicators up there, and I've blown that up twice with the lightning. So I disconnect those, because you can't get a relay with a big enough spacing that somebody's not going to arc over.
Yeah, that's a good thing. By the way, just I'm looking at the one, which is a May 2009 version of what I have. The Alpha Delta 4, it's the, or the Delta 4 from Alpha Delta, and they also have a Delta 2, by the way, but it's the Alpha Delta B series, Bravo series, it's got the D4 arc plug, the whole bit. I've got a spare one that I haven't installed yet, because I'm going to play another game with some antennas this year if I have some time. Alrighty, anybody else? Alrighty, Mike, anything from you on this one before we wrap it up? Next topic.
The only thing I wanted to say is, as far as you know how my antennas are now, they're only about maybe, for example, right now, my 7 is dark. It's not too far away from this one, and I could actually see you're going up as I'm talking. I've never had a problem like that with the verticals. That's why I was asking with the beam. I think it would be the greatest idea, but I really would like to do it. And where I have my own, and it was a lot shorter, from 200 feet of coax down to about 50. All right, once I get the tower and weld everything up, move all the verticals out of the way, I'll put the beam up. Thank you all for the help.
A2FBL,
and I will be listening here.
WA2CAI with a question.
Good, John.
Nothing in keeping with what we've been talking about. Wondering if anyone in a group going to coffee tomorrow has a list of members of ARRA.
Yeah, I don't have a list. I can't get the coffee. I've got a 9:30 call tomorrow. Shame on me. I should have scheduled for this morning. All right. I guess not. All right. We do have a list. Let's get back to the list here. Comment from K2ZO. K2BAR.
K2BAR. This is K2ZO. If you remember the other night, I was discussing about the technique that the audio guys use for a mobile running, well, audio. In this case now, what we're talking about is running single sideband. And with a system that might be limited where you're just using someone else's vehicle, running a 100-watt transceiver, could stress the wiring in the 15-amp circuits or whatever. Of course, the audio guys use capacitors, and I just bought one. Very interesting thing here. It's charging up and all kinds of lights are flashing on it. Got a digital display, which I'm not sure is telling me. It looks like it's giving me voltage. But anyway, I bought a 4-farad capacitor, and it's going to be used as a little experiment to see how well that idea that the audio guys have, which they've been using for years, but I've never seen any hams do it. So that's my comment, and I'll keep giving you some progress as I experiment with this thing. Back to that, K2ZO.
Okay, anybody have a follower?
Capacitor.
Sorry?
was just asking Jim where he found a 4 farad capacitor.
I bought it on eBay for $59. It's got a little digital readout on it, and it's quite a goodie. I'll toss it in the car when I go to coffee tomorrow. They believe they have them up to 20 farad. Those are really expensive. But the local shop sells this one for $200. But I found it on eBay for $59. And it's a 4 farad 20 volt capacitor, believe it or not. Back to that.
You put 13.8 on it?
Yeah, it's rated for 20 volts.
Okay. All right. My experience with capacitors is such that I think I'd want a little more headroom. But that's okay. Especially if it's 4 farads. How big is it, Jim? How much does it weigh?
It's about a foot high, about 4.5 inch by 4.5 inch. On the top where the terminals are, it's got a plastic clear cover and a circuit board and a digital readout. And when you first start to put power to it, it flashes and it has all kinds of LEDs that light up and all kinds of things happen. It's pretty cool. The audio guys like that stuff, I guess. And then the digital readout gives you an indication of the voltage, I guess, that it's storing. So, no instructions came with it or anything like that, but I charged it with a series resistor, but the audio guys tell me you don't need that. You can just hang it across the battery, which I find kind of crazy, hanging a 4 farad capacitor across the battery. But we'll see. Back to that.
Yeah. I'm just chuckling here. Oh, my. Yeah, 4 farad, yeah. No, I don't think so. Oh, boy. Okay. Very cool. A foot high, 4x4. Circuit board of blinky lights. Okay. I think you did the right thing. Well, well, well. Alrighty. What else can I tell you guys or find out about? Anybody else have any comments about the insanely large capacitor that Jim has? Okay. Well, I'm going to be a little silly here, and I'm going to say if I go to none other than, to Wayne Electronics, for that same $59, I can buy myself a 12 ampere hour, 12 volt, steel lead acid battery. It's a lot smaller. That will not do everything a 4 farad capacitor will do, but it will do much of what they're trying to do there. You just need a terminal level boost of a voltage that otherwise might sag a little bit. On the other hand, go to a flea market and buy two or three of those things, have 36 or 24 ampere hour, and that's plenty to run a 100 watt radio all day and night, well, for a while anyway, and you can still charge it from, the remote battery. So just from a safety viewpoint as well as a general utility viewpoint, I gotta tell you, Jim, I'm rooting for the steel lead acid batteries more than I am the 4 farad capacitor. What are your thoughts?
Well, I have a 200 ampere NiCad battery, but it's just a little bit big. So we can always drag that out if this doesn't work. Anyway, this is a nice idea to be able to just hang it across. The whole idea in this case was to build something in a go box that you could just take and plug it into any vehicle and plug in a 100 watt sideband transceiver. And that was the one thing I was thinking about. It's just light enough. It's much lighter than a battery. So that's the whole idea. Whether it's going to work or not, I don't know. But it's going to be fun.
Ah, so it's the weight that's the issue. So while it's physically large, it doesn't weigh much. Okay. I don't know how much this battery weighs. Your typical, 12 volts, 12 ampere hour batteries. You see a ton of them, steel lead acid, rechargeable thingy here.
forget how much they weigh. I'm going to say they weigh about 8 pounds. Yeah, I'd say about the same as a gallon of milk. Anyway, something along that order. Just a lot more compact. But if you've got something that's light, it's a little bigger, that's cool. I get your point. Anybody else before we go on?
WHCAI. Jim, that fun comment scares me a little.
We'll see.
Very good. K2AMI, your comment, sir.
Good evening, everybody. It is getting late for me. on Saturday morning, we have our annual River Ridge run here in River Ridge. Of course, it's in River Ridge. And it's a 5K run, followed by a 5K walk. And it's the run itself starts at 10 o'clock. I have a number of volunteers who promise they'll be here at my garage on about 9:15 to 9:30. Not much earlier, I hope, because I'm struggling to get out of bed even at that hour. And we will assign you positions, the same as we have in other years. That is to say, the positions will be the same, and in many cases, the assignments will be the same. And it's about at the most, it's a two-hour bit. If you're at the early part of the run, it can only be a half-an-hour bit after 10, so you could be out there by 10:30. It's a lot of fun to see all the young and energetic runners move much faster than I do, go through the course. And, of course, there are some older guys who walk through the course and some baby carriages and stuff like that. So it's a public service event that Barra has done now for a number of years for River Ridge. And it helps me keep in front of River Ridge people like the mayor and so forth who has been to our field day. So if you guys can contribute any time, contact me. I know that we will be using a 2-meter repeater frequency that I will email to the list of people I have. And it's not, make sure that you can adjust your 2-meter radio to an appropriate frequency when the time comes. You only need a 2-meter radio or if you want to stay in your car, the car radio will be fine. Back to that.
Okay, Tony, just one observation. That a good chunk of that course is eastern facing, a sharp escarpment where the course falls off to the east. So you might want to pick your repeater and or use a simplex frequency with some care. But if you have any comments or questions about that, we can take it offline. But I'm just concerned over certain selections that might become a default, because they may not be ideal for handy talkie coverage in that environment. But anyway. Alrighty. Anybody else have any comments for Tony about the River Ridge run? Please call K2BAR.
Tony, do you have a frequency selected yet? It's W2JK.
Yes, I do. And it's the, we use the same frequency we use for our fox hunt in the last couple of fox hunts that we've been on. And I don't really want to mention it here, but I do plan to send an email out tomorrow indicating the frequency. And, of course, it'll be a 2-meter simplex no-tone frequency.
Beautiful. Okey-doke. Very good. That works. Anybody else have any comments for Tony?
Question to Don there. Don, is there a VE session tomorrow night?
That's correct. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, over.
Okay, maybe you want to elaborate on that with Gordon.
He's my next comment. Yep, okay. Go ahead, Don.
Hi, K2BAR on the net, W2JEK. Yeah, we're having our next test session tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Friday night at 7 o'clock at the Westwood Regional High School, which is in Lushington Township, where we have our ham fest. I was on the ALRL's website, and it says no walk-ins. But apparently, they just did their website over, and nobody has walk-ins.
and they, I called them up about it, and they are aware of that. Another glitch that I've come up with, you used to punch in your mileage, your go with zip code, and you punch in your zip code and look for a test session within 20 miles or 50 miles or whatever. Now it's 25 miles or 50 miles. Now you punch in 25 miles, I should be coming up with my zip code should come up, pick up the one at Washington Township. It does not. I have to go to the 50 mile setting to get that. Well, I think something goofed up there too. Because people are using those 25 miles and then they won't see me. They'll see other things around. They'll see Staten Island, for example, but even Washington Township. Something's wrong with that. I've got to talk to them about that next week. So, anyhow, that's something I'll deal with. I guess there are other bugs in that operation too that they're probably working on. Called him yesterday about it, and this evening it still hasn't been fixed. There's been the walk-ins, fake walk-ins. With that, back to that W2JK.
Okay, Don, that's good. It's very good to know. Alrighty. And you may have one of my scouts tomorrow. You may not. The one that did well, but not well enough. He may be there tomorrow night. I don't know what his, should we say, drill status is at this point. But he may have some post-school practice tests. And if they are consistently good, he may be popping over there. And that would be good. Or if not, he'll catch you next month. Alrighty. Anybody else have any questions for Don about the test session?
No, but there are so many issues with the new ARRL site. After 6 years of development, or however long it's been, you'd think they would have done it right.